I want you to just, think for a second about the last time you were online. You're trying to get something done, maybe you're in a rush, and then boom, you hit that wall.
The gatekeeper.
The dreaded, I am not a robot checkbox. I swear, I feel like I spend a good chunk of my week just clicking on traffic lights and crosswalks. It's annoying, but,
Yeah.
we do it. It's the price of admission for the internet.
Well, we've been trained to do it, right? We trust it. It's this standard security ritual you perform without thinking.
What if that ritual, that exact moment of proving you're human, was actually a trap?
Yeah.
What if that was the moment you hand over the keys to? Well, everything.
It sounds like something out of a movie, but that is exactly what we're digging into today. We're looking at this really fascinating report from the team at Technegian. It's about a malware campaign they're calling ClickFix, and I have to say, this one kind of keeps me up at night.
Me too. Reading through the source material, what really struck me is this isn't your usual, oh, don't click the shady email attachment advice. It's much more sophisticated. It's weaponizing our own
It's
habits.
a social engineering attack for sure, but with this technical twist that lets it just waltz past almost every standard defense we rely on. And this isn't just some prank. It deploys a nasty info stealer called Emetera that's designed to just strip mine your browser.
And when you say strip mine, you mean everything, passwords, bank logins.
Everything. The works. So our mission today for this deep dive is to really pull this thing apart. We're going to look at the psychology behind the trap, how it uses legitimate Microsoft tools against you, which is just wild, and how it hides its tracks using, of all things, Google Calendar.
That part absolutely blew my mind. Okay, so let's get into it. The setup. I'm a user, I'm browsing, I click a link. What do I see first?
So it usually starts on a compromised website. You think you're about to see an article or download a file, but instead you get this overlay, and it looks incredibly familiar. It's designed to mimic Google's recap TCHA or those other verification pages perfectly.
Okay, so I'm seeing the little checkbox, the spinning logo,
Yeah.
the whole security check aesthetic. It looks legit.
Exactly. But here's the twist. You click the box and it fails. You get an error, something like verification failed, or maybe update Chrome to continue.
Which is frustrating, but I mean, that happens. Tech breaks. My first thought is, okay, what do I have to do now?
Right. And that frustration is precisely what the attackers are banking on. Because right there on the screen, they offer you a solution, a fix.
The click fix.
That's the one. They give you a set of instructions.
And what's the fix?
This is where it gets really weird. The page tells you to copy a snippet of code. They call it a verification token or something official sounding, and then paste it into the Windows Run dialog box.
Okay, I have to pause you there. Because my immediate reaction reading that in the Technegian report was, who does that?
Right.
I mean, who copies random code from a website and pastes it into a system command box? That just screams red flag to me.
And you're not wrong. If you're a sysadmin, you'd spot it a mile away. But you have to think about the average user in that specific context. You're not in security analysis mode.
You're in, I just need to open this invoice mode.
Exactly. And the page looks authoritative. It doesn't look like some shady hacker site. It looks
Yeah.
like a Google support page. It's leveraging that trust, that authority.
And from a technical standpoint, this is how they get around the browser's defenses.
It's genius, really. Think about how Chrome or Edge protects you. If you try to download, say, virus.exe, the browser steps in, it scans it, checks it against the threat list, it gives you that big
All
warning.
right, the browser's like the bouncer at the door.
But in this scenario, there is no file. You're not downloading anything, you're just copying text. The browser has no idea what you plan to do with that text.
So by making me the user run the code myself, I'm the one who walks right past the bouncer for them.
Precisely. They can't hack the software, so they hack the human. You become the delivery mechanism. You open the run box, which is a powerful tool, and you personally invite the malware in.
That is just unsettling. It's like the old vampire rule. They can't come in unless you invite them. Okay, so I fall for it. I paste the code. I hit enter. What did I just do to my machine?
You've just kicked off what we call a living off the land attack.
I love that term. It sounds like something from a survival show.
It's a bit more insidious than that. Living off the land basically means the attacker doesn't bring their own malicious tools. They don't want to bring anything that antivirus might recognize. Instead, they use the tools that are already on your computer.
So instead of a burglar bringing a crowbar, they're using the homeowner's own ladder that was sitting in the backyard.
That is the perfect analogy. And in this case, the Technegian report says they're abusing a specific Windows component called Microsoft Application Virtualization,
Oh, sure.
or AppV.
App V. I've heard of it, but what's it for normally?
In a legitimate setting, it's a tool for IT admins. It lets them stream apps to computers without having to install them locally. It's a totally valid, trusted, Microsoft-signed utility. The specific script they call is syncapvpublishingserver.vbs.
That's a mouthful.
It is. But the important thing is that your computer trusts it. Your security software sees that name and thinks, oh, that's fine. That's a Microsoft file.
So when the antivirus sees it running, it just shrugs. Looks like Windows doing Windows things.
Exactly. The command you pasted uses another trusted tool, wscript.exe, to run this app vscript. And that script is then manipulated into launching PowerShell. Because it's all flowing through these trusted channels, security software often just lets it go.
That's incredibly sneaky. So they've tricked me into opening the door, and now they're using my own furniture to build a fortress inside my house.
And once they have that foothold, the sophistication,
yeah,
it just jumps up another level. You said before this felt like a spy movie.
Yeah, with the whole deception thing.
Well, welcome to the counterintelligence phase. The malware doesn't just go off immediately. First, it runs what are called anti-analysis checks.
Anti-analysis. So it's checking to see if it's being watched.
Precisely. The malware authors know that security researchers are going to try to analyze this thing in what's called a sandbox.
Like a digital quarantine.
Right. A safe, isolated environment. This malware is smart enough to know that. So before it does anything truly bad, it looks around and asks, am I on a real computer or am I in a simulation?
And how can it tell?
It checks for little signs. It verifies the command was run manually. It might check the clipboard contents. It can even check for human-like mouse movements.
It's verifying that I'm a real victim. That's creepy.
It is. And if it thinks it's in a sandbox, it just goes into an infinite white state. It plays dead.
Wasting the researcher's time is plain possum.
Totally. But let's say it decides the coast is clear. It's on a real machine. Now it needs its instructions. This is where it would normally reach out to a command and control server.
And that's usually a red flag for network security, right?
Yeah.
Traffic going to some weird unknown server.
Correct. That's an alarm bell. But ClickFix doesn't reach out to a weird server. It reaches out to Google.
Google. You mean Google.com?
Specifically, Google Calendar.
Wait. You're telling me this malware gets its marching orders from a Google Calendar invite?
I know, it sounds nuts, but it's genuinely one of the most clever, malicious things I've seen recently. The attackers set up a public Google Calendar, and the malware's configuration, its instructions, are encoded and hidden right in the description field of a calendar event.
That is, I hate it, but that is brilliant.
It completely neuters network defense. Think about it. Every corporate network on the planet allows traffic to Google. It's encrypted HTTPS traffic. To a firewall, it just looks like an employee checking their schedule.
It's hiding the malicious signal inside perfectly normal, trusted noise.
You got it. So the malware reads that calendar event, decodes the instructions, and gets the URL for the next stage.
Wow. Okay, so we've got a fake, CAPTCHA, a trusted Windows tool, counter-surveillance checks, and a secret message in a Google Calendar. We haven't even gotten to the actual virus yet.
Right, the payload. This brings us to another technique, straight out of the spy novels, steganography.
Steganography, hiding messages inside of other things, like images.
Exactly. The script now downloads what looks like a totally normal PNG image file. If you opened it, it would just look like a picture, a logo, an icon, whatever. But hidden inside the data of that image is the malicious code.
How does that even work? How do you hide code in a picture?
They use what's called the least significant bits of the pixel data. If you change the color value of a single pixel by a tiny, tiny fraction, the human eye will never notice the difference. But a computer program can read those tiny changes as ones and zeros.
So the code is literally woven into the fabric of the image.
Yes. And the script downloads this image, extracts the hidden code, decrypts it. And here's the kicker. It runs it entirely in memory.
Meaning it never saves a file to the hard drive.
Never. We call this fileless malware, and this is a huge problem for traditional antivirus, which is designed to scan your hard drive looking for bad files.
But there's no file to find.
There's no file to find. It's a ghost.
And that ghost is the final weapon. Let's talk about Amatera. What is it?
Amatera is the end game. It's a powerful info stealer. And what's interesting is that it's sold as malware as a service.
Software as a service. You mean they rent it?
Exactly the same business model. Criminals can just subscribe to it. It has a dashboard, it gets updates, it's designed to be really aggressive. Once it's running in memory, it hooks into your web browser.
And it's looking for what exactly?
Everything. Saved passwords, credit card numbers from your autofill.
Autofill data is terrifying.
Yeah.
That's my address, my phone number.
It is. But arguably, the session cookies are even worse.
Why is that?
A session cookie is what keeps you logged into a website. If I steal your password, I still might get stopped by two-factor authentication. But if I steal your active session cookie, I can basically impersonate you. I can trick the website into thinking I am you on your machine. I just bypass the password and the 2FA completely.
So they can just walk right into your banking portal because the bank thinks it's still you.
Precisely. And Emitera scrapes all this data and sends it back to the attackers immediately.
This is a complete nightmare scenario. Mm-hmm. We went from a simple click here button to total identity theft without a single alarm bell going off.
It really highlights how efficient modern cybercrime has become.
Okay. I am feeling sufficiently paranoid now. I think everyone listening is probably thinking through their browser history. Let's pivot. What can we actually do? If antivirus struggles with this, are we just doomed?
No, definitely not doomed. But we have to change how we think about defense. The first line of defense here isn't software. It's us. It's our behavior.
The human element again.
There is a golden rule that every single person listening needs to memorize right now. And it's simple. Legitimate websites and CAPTI CHAs will never ask you to open the run dialog or paste code into PowerShell.
Never. Not for any reason.
Never. Full stop. There is no legitimate scenario where a website needs you to do that. If a page asks you to do that, it is an attack. Period. Close the tab.
That seems so simple, but I can see how in the moment, when you're frustrated, you might just do it.
And that's what they count on. You have to build that new reflex. Stop and think, wait, why does this website need access to my system tools?
What about for the IT pros listening? What are the technical backstops here?
Absolutely. There are some key system hardening steps. First, use group policy to restrict access to the Windows Run dialog. Most of your users in marketing or HR just don't need it.
Just lock the door they're trying to use.
Second, look at App B. This whole attack hinges on that syncapv publishing server.vbs script. If your company doesn't use App V in a lot, don't anymore remove those components.
Get rid of the latter before the burglar can find it.
Exactly. Minimize your attack surface. And finally, you need deep PowerShell logging enabled so you can see what scripts are actually doing.
The Technician report also mentioned EDR versus traditional antivirus. Can you break that down?
Yeah, this is a critical point. Traditional antivirus looks for known bad files. As we said, this is fileless, so traditional AV is blind to it.
Right.
Endpoint detection and response, or EDR, is different. It doesn't just look at files, it looks at behavior. It's the thing that notices, hey, this is weird. Why is this App V script suddenly launching PowerShell and trying to talk to Google? It spots the suspicious action.
So it's less like a bouncer checking IDs and more like a security guard watching the cameras for shady behavior.
That's a perfect way to put it. And Technician makes the point that for these evasive threats, you really need that behavioral monitoring.
Okay, worst case scenario. Someone listening is getting that sinking feeling. They're thinking, I think I might have done this. What are the immediate steps?
Speed is everything. First, disconnect from the network. Pull the plug. Turn off the Wi-Fi. Cut the line.
Stop the bleeding.
Then, and this is important, do not change your passwords on that computer.
Oh, right. Because the malware is still watching.
It's still watching. You'll just be handing them the new password. Go to a totally different clean device, your phone, another laptop, and change every important password. Bank, email, everything. And then you really need to call a pro.
You can't just run a virus scan.
Probably not. Because of how deep Emitera embeds itself, it's very hard to remove cleanly. In a corporate setting, the only surefire way is to wipe the machine and re-image it.
Scorched earth.
Unfortunately, yeah. You have to be 100% sure it's gone.
You know, what's really sticking with me through all this is how the threat has evolved. We used to worry so much about hackers breaking in, finding a vulnerability, forcing their way in.
But this isn't that. They're not breaking in. They're just convincing us to open the door and let them in. It's an inversion of the threat model. We've spent decades and billions of dollars hardening the technology, and it's gotten really hard to break. So attackers are just going after the path of least resistance.
Which is us, the human brain.
It's the one vulnerability you can't patch with software. We're curious, we're impatient, and we're conditioned to trust certain things. This attack exploits all of that perfectly.
It's almost like the future of cybercrime isn't about writing code. It's about writing a compelling story. A story that makes you act against your own best interests.
That's a really good way of looking at it. The code is just the tool. The weapon is the narrative they build.
So as we wrap this up, I want to leave our listeners with that thought. We all spend so much time worrying about our software and our hardware, But how much time do we spend auditing our own reflexes?
Right, that muscle memory you have when you're just clicking through things online to get to what you want.
Because that's what they're counting on. The next time you see that box asking if you're a robot, just take a breath, pause, actually read the screen. Because proving you're human should never require you to act like a machine.
Well said.
A huge thank you to Technigen for the source material on this. It was a real eye-opener. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Stay safe, stay curious, and maybe stay a little suspicious.
Always a good idea.
See you on the next deep dive.